The Bible said in the book of the Revelation, chapter number 2, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Now, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars is right. Jesus didn't write a lot. He wrote on the ground. But then the book of Revelation, he writes to seven churches. He seemed to me one of few writings. But yet he wrote something that's speaking volumes to my heart this morning. He said, I want you to write these things. And he said, verse 2, I know your works. Seemed as if the Lord complimented the people instead of chewing them out. You know, it would help a lot of you. You can be seated this morning. It would help a whole lot of you to try to look on the positives instead of the negatives all the time. You'll notice the way that the Lord addressed this assembly. He did us not tearing on them like a bull in a china shop. But He addressed them about the positive things that they were doing. Matter of fact, He said, I know your works. Don't ever doubt if God don't know what you're doing for Him, because He knows everything that we're doing for the cause of Christ. When people's not applauding you, and when people's not thanking you, and when people simply forget to compliment you, you always remember this. None of that really matters. It's what He knows what we do in this morning. I know your works. Aren't you glad we got a God that recognizes what we do? Now, if you're doing for men, it will soon wear out. I've seen a lot of people had preacher religion, but it didn't hold out long. I've seen a lot of people had beautiful sanctuary religion. I've seen people walking in and say, wow, this is beautiful. I love what you got, till the preacher got up. Now, He knows our works. Aren't you glad we got a God that knows? And look what He says, I know you work, and the reason they call it work is this, it's labor involved. You that are looking for a job, you're not looking for work, you're never going to amount to nothing in life till you realize that work consists of labor. God honors labor. I wish ministry was easy, but it's not. I wish everybody's job that you did for the Lord was easy, but I'm going to tell you, it's not. So what we better purpose in our hearts is this. It does not matter who is applauding us or who is not applauding us. The Lord knows about our works. He says in His address, I know your labor and your patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil. This church stood for wrong. They stood against wickedness. They stood against wrong. They would stand up against false doctrine. That they would not compromise the Word of God. And I want to say they are to be commended for that. We're living in a day when such a windstorm of contemporary Christianity is sweeping our country. They're taking the blood out of our songs and the blood out of our sermons. And preacher, don't raise your voice and don't get too loud and quit preaching on sin. But honey, I'm going to tell you, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord and thank God for old time religion this morning. He said, y'all stand against us. Said, you just don't let anything happen. He said, you can't bear them which are evil. And watch this, thou hast tried them which say they are apostles. Folks in leadership, you cannot demand respect. You must first earn respect. So if you come walking up in Liberty Baptist Church and you wonder why people ain't really paying you a lot of attention and you're supposed to have this big pedigree about you, don't think it's strange. They're just trying to see if you real deal or not. I love mountain people. I started preaching in the mountains about 8 years ago. They become some of the greatest people in the ministry that God's used out of Liberty Baptist Church. They're very warm-hearted people. But I tell you what they are. They're standoffish. I was up there preaching the first time. People just looked at me about all week. They just looked. They wouldn't nod their head. They just looked. I'd get on preaching, Miss Peggy. I'd say, Pastor, does these people... They not accept what I'm preaching, don't like me. Oh no, Brother Ken, they love you, or you'd have never made it the second night. I can go there now. Hands run out. Neck hugs appear. They all know that I'm a hugging, squalling preacher, and it ain't really got in their culture that much, but they will hug from a distance now. But I want to say, the man of God told me, Brother Mike, he said, Preacher, what you don't understand, there's been so many folks out peddling snake oil, they want to know, are you real or not? They said, you try to see if people are real. You give them a chance. And I want to say this morning, for every new family that ever come to this church, I want to ask you something today. Would everybody just stand to your feet 1 second, please? Would you stand to your feet 1 second? I could probably name you countless families where I know where they are today, but let me ask you something. Where would you put many more people? Would you just look around a minute? So that lets me know new families come in the ministry. You must give them a chance. Stick your hand out. Say, how y'all doing this morning? Be loving to people. Give them a chance. You can be seated this morning. Thank you. So people that's new to our church, don't think it's strange if there is a trying time. I've been with these people 22 years. Many of them have been with me that long. I mean, they know what color tie I'm going to wear. They know everything about me. They know my punchlines in preaching. They know I'm going to cry, shout, and run. They know I'm going to pray and sing. They're just trying to figure you out. But let me say this morning. Give people a chance. All of our past wasn't so wonderful either. Aren't you glad that Jesus forgives sin? And you that are here and you've messed up, you fell down. We ought to be the last congregation this day and this hour that we would knock you down and keep you down. We ought to try to help you up and bear one another's burdens. As a woman from Nain was going to the gate of the city, there was people carrying out her dead boy. Thank God for people that will help me carry my burdens. So, they were a very active church. They were a church that worked for the Lord. Matter of fact, they were labor intense. They would stand against false doctrine. They tried people to see if they was real or not. I've had people come in that you never know nothing about. Some of the first words that really spooked me was when people land here and say, I want to work with your kids. Well, I don't know you. I don't know you. Well, then I've seen multitudes simply do this. They come in the building and they got about 12 songbooks on their arms, said, I do special singing, but I didn't come to sing. We don't know you. And the reason churches get in trouble, they put people in leadership. They put people in pulpits that have not been tried. Tried. So, they were people that stood with the stuff. You wouldn't believe the people's on that voicemail out there every week. We have a ministry. We'd love to come in and minister to your people. I don't know you. I don't know you. But we can help your church. I don't know if you can help our church or not. If you're out of this book, you'll kill it. So he says, we've tried them which say they're apostles and are not, and has found them liars. And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not found. Thank God for people that ain't fell out in the wraiths that's still doing something for Jesus. Amen. Verse 4, he compliments them, but all of a sudden it changes. He uses the word with caps. It means it gets a lot of attention. Nevertheless, look what he says. I don't have something, but I have some what against you. I wonder what some what thing he would have that you're doing that he would be against this morning. Said, you don't have something, but you've got some what that you've allowed in your life that your love has grown cold. You have some what? And he says, because thou hast left thy first love. Didn't say you lost it. You left it. Big difference in losing something, leaving something. A lot of times, you know, the older you get, man, your mind's shot. Your nerves is gone. I mean, I can go from my study to the restroom and lose my cell phone. I say, honey, ring my phone. And now, Brother Mike, got one, won't even ring. Looked down yesterday for missed calls. It ain't rung yet. But anyway, you'll notice when you leave, son, I called Miss Renee a lot of times. I say, honey, I left this on the dresser. Bring it to church with you. I know where I left it, so that reminds me. I know where I can go back and get it. Uh-huh. Not lost it, but I've left it. So he says, I have nevertheless somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Now, verse 5, what I want to preach out of. Remember. Therefore, from whence thou art fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to thee quickly and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now, many times in the Word of God, there are statements that are conditional and non-conditional. He says, I'm the Lord and I change not. That is non-conditional. But here, he says, there's something conditional where y'all go to church at. He said, if you want me to continue to walk and be in your midst and turn a light on and you be a light in a community, you better get back to loving me. So that lets me know that a preacher, 10 or 12 can love God and want God. But it lets me know when a church turns their back on God, don't ask them to do big things because He ain't going to do it. It's conditional. It has to do with me. And it has to do with you. I'm not talking about being saved and unsaved. I'm talking about a place where God's candlestick is shining. God's candlestick is working. Now, I want to preach just a few little thoughts about this, and I'll be done preaching this morning. By way of outlining this, I want to say, first of all, there was the reporting. We've covered that. They were good people. They were laboring. Then there was the rebuking. He said, but nevertheless. In other words, you know what that means? When your wife gets mad at you, and it don't matter what you've done and what great things you've done for her that day, but you've done that one remark, and all of a sudden she says, but nevertheless, you know what that means? All that's pushed to the wayside a few minutes till we get things back right. I know you rednecks are getting this preaching. Nevertheless, I know you're working. I know you're standing for right. And I know you're tired. Let me ask you something. Don't labor bring tiredness? See, I know you're tired. But nevertheless, let's push all that aside and let's deal with one main subject. Nevertheless, that's really not on my top priority right now. My top priority is you've left loving me. A lot of you know my background. I'd met Miss Renee in Florida as a young kid. I was about, 16 at the time. We'd met on vacation, fixing to be 17. And we met in Florida with our parents on vacation. And I'm going to tell you, if there's ever been anything beside the Holy Ghost that swept me off my feet, that girl swept me up. First time I ever seen, she just swept me on my feet. I couldn't get over it. And so we come home, started dating. I moved in with her grandparents. We got married in December, about a year later. We got jobs, started out in a little single-wide trailer. And y'all don't know what hot is. You ought to live in one of them and turn on a gas oven. A little 110 window unit pumping all it can do in the side window. And she'll say, what do you want for supper? And you say, honey, you got to turn that gas stove on? Nothing. You know what we do? It's a hot, we go to the movie theater and go to sleep. Hour 45 minutes for $1.75. Best money I ever spent for air conditioning on Sunday. You think I'm kidding, but that's a true story. We'd slip them Pepsi Colas in. It'd get quiet. We'd say, everybody turn around. Can't buy no $2 Coca-Cola at the movie. And so, Lord help me. So, I began to think something in that relationship with her. Can I remind you on this thing of this remembering? Could I just remind you today that in John 15, Jesus speaks about us being His friends. In John 15 and verse number 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You say, God's my friend. Well, are you walking in His commandments? We are His friends. Romans 8, verse 16, we are His children. And there's not universal children, honey. You must be born in this family. Yes, we're all God's creations, but we are not all God's children. You must be born again to become a child of God. Romans 8. Verse number 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Does the Spirit of God live in you? If He don't, the Bible said, you're none of His. Have you got religion or does the Spirit of God live in you? Has there ever been a time that you realized you was a sinner and you called out to God and He saved you and come to live inside of you? If not, you're going to die and go to hell in your sin. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his, is the Bible. We are his friends. We're his children. Revelation 21, verse number 2. Brother Jake spoke about this Tuesday night. We are his bride. Brother Dana spoke on it both services 2 Sundays ago. Remember, he preached about her, then he preached about him. So we are his friends, his children, and his bride. In Revelation chapter number 21 and verse number 2. Revelation 21 and verse number 2. There the Bible says, "Now John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Jesus is the bridegroom. The church is the bride. So we that are saved are God's friends. We are his children. We are his bride, the bride of Christ. And so in this remembering, as I brought up the story to you about as me and Miss Renee, God had brought us together now for about 38 years, I penned a few things down about remembering. He said, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen." He said, "This thing ain't about a work problem." He said, "Matter of fact," he said, "I'm going to tell you all your problem is, it's a love problem." And I pinned this down something that I could realize and maybe I could relate to in preaching this morning about as I started to love Miss Renee and we were married. I want to say a few things about this remembering. I noticed when she was in Bowden, Georgia, and I was in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, 233 miles. I noticed when we were in love that we talked a lot. We had party lines. And then it was long distance calls. We had a long cord on a green telephone, and I'd pull it out. We lived out in the country, and I'd sit down on the back porch steps. And my mama, she'd come to the back porch window, and this is what she'd do. Many times I was talking to Miss Renee, she'd say, "That phone bell." I'd say, "Well, honey, I got to go. I'll call you tomorrow." Say, "Preacher, you didn't have a cell phone." "Oh, I'm preaching way before cell phones come on the scene." I noticed when I was in love that I talked a lot. I wonder when's the last time you've talked to Him. Do you ever want to talk to the Lord? Do you ever just long just to get alone and talk with? Honey, you will communicate with those that you love. You see, we talked a lot. And I'll tell you another thing I did. I've got it in my study. I looked at her pictures often. Man, I'd have a picture. Mr. Nash still got it. Man, I'm talking about the girl that made me leave everything I'd ever known or loved. It was a big deal. I wonder when's the last time you've looked at the pictures. Well, there's Abraham and his son Isaac going to Mount Moriah. Why, Lord. My goodness, there's Elijah brought back a little child. Said he stretched himself. Aren't you glad when Jesus stretched Himself that He brought life to the sinner? Amen. I see pictures. How I love to open my Bible and get a glimpse of Him. Of just how wonderful He really is. Then I noticed not only did we talk a lot and not only did I look often at pictures, but I pinned this down. I love to hang out at her house. I was traveling 233 miles. Hey, young kids. High school. You know, everybody's got a sad tale. Let me give you one. My senior year in high school, I went to school at 8, got out of school at 1. I started a second shift job at 2 and got off at 11, went home and laid down my senior year. And when I got off from that plant Friday morning and I went in school, you know what I'd done? I turned that Chevrolet toward Bowden, Georgia, and you could set your watch. I'd be in by dark. Why? Because I loved to hang out at her house. I'd sit in a swing Sunday evening. They'd take me to Sandy Flat Baptist Church as a lost man. I'd come home, eat dinner with Mom and Daddy, Brother Mike. We'd sit out there by the road in that old swing till about 2 o'clock. I gained an hour going to Tennessee. That gave me about 6 hours to get home and get back to that plant, third shift job. Sunday night, I'd get up and go to school on Monday morning. You say, Brother Kim, wasn't that tiring? Yeah, but the love was a lot greater. I remember one day, Brother Jerry, Renee's mama come out and said, "Ain't Ken leaving today? Ain't you got to work tonight, son?" I loved hanging out at her house. Why don't some of you like to hang out at his house? I know we're tired. I understand all that. And I think you've got to agree that I try to realize that in the culture we are. We have Sunday school Wednesday night, trying to give you more time Sunday morning with your family, because I know you run crazy all the way to Saturday. We let you off the first Sunday night of every month. I love it, family time. I love it. But when we have church here, something about it that I love being at his house. Could it be a love problem? You know, not only did I talk to her often, and not only did I look at pictures, and I loved to hang out at her house, but I want to say that I didn't mind spending my money on her. Back when Danielle's was in business. Anybody remember when Danielle's had them shrimp out on Highway 20? Anybody? Hey, we'd go to the mansion, get that shrimp basket, $3.99. I was bringing home about $108 a week. But Renee, I didn't mind spending it on you. Because I loved you. Now, Mission Sunday, every Sunday I write a check that hurts me to write. But my love is greater than my hurt. There's a lot of times I think I could get ahead if I'd back off my tithes. That's what the devil tells me. But see, that ain't God's formula. God said, "Give and it shall be given." I will challenge you this. You ask Brother David Shaddix, you will never ever outgive the God of this Bible that I'm preaching about this. You'll never outgive Him. I remember last year, money was tight. Was building a house, still tight. I had to tear up, called out. I was writing that check to missions that Sunday above my tithes. The devil said, "You crazy. You crazy." I kept writing, getting one of my grandbabies, putting an envelope, put it in, and I declare the next week, you know what the Carol, cut this off just a minute. I don't want to get nobody arrested. Cut me off just a minute. They come in and put me a whole new cupboard, a whole load of gravel. You know what they said? No charge. Wonder what that would have cost. I'm sitting there scratching my head. Some of you jealous because Carroll County ain't done it. Don't call their office Monday. That's just a preacher blessing. But I notice when I'm in love, I don't mind spending money. I tell you another thing, when I was dating Miss Renee, because I was in love, you know what I do? Brother Carey, you know what I do? I cleaned up real good. I had a job in a bread bag factory. We printed bread bags. My job, carry a 5-gallon bucket of ink to the printer, pour it, kept it filled, changed the rolls of film, and I'd have that stuff all over me. You know what I'd do, though, before I come see Miss Renee? I'd get a bath. I'd scrub. My mom said, boy, them fingernails look raunchy. I'd clip my nails. You know, when's the last time you've had a spiritual bath? When's the last time that you bowed before God and said, God, clean me up! God, help me inside! Ain't it amazing? When God walked around, He wasn't looking on the outside. He's looking on the inside. He said, that's a love problem. You want to know why our church ain't rocking the way it used to? It's a love problem. You ain't got a preacher problem. You ain't got a God problem. You got a love problem. You ain't got a Bible problem. You got a love of getting in your Bible problem. You ain't got deacon problems. You got a loving God problem. You've not got a faithful member problem. You've got a love problem. You see, I traveled long ways to see her. And that's another thing I did. And I'm closing. Miss Cheryl, won't you come? I'm not near done preaching, but I'm just going to quit preaching. This is so important. I want you to hear this. I went back home, Brother Randall. You know what I done? I told everybody about who I'd met and what I'd found. Look at her. Man, look at her. Baby, I did. I'm just going to be honest from the whole congregation. I just never seen nothing like you. And Renee still had you. You're precious. I'd go to school, pull out my wallet. I'd say, hey, guys, come here. I wish Parker's here. He'd say, Pop. That's a pretty girl. I told everybody I met, I'm moving now. I'm going to live where I used to live and do what I used to do. I'm moving. I'm moving. And let me tell you why I'm moving. Look who I found. I met somebody that swept me off my feet. There ain't nobody like the Lord Jesus. I'm glad He loves us this morning. I'm glad He died for us. And I'm glad He lives in my heart. Miss Sherry, won't you play? I want to. Oh, Mark, what you need this morning? Would you come? Would you come? Would you come now? Would you come? Would you come and ask the Lord to put things back in your heart? Ask Him to do something for you this morning. Oh, our church needs it so.